Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 437, People of Earth.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And it's week three of season three. It's all threes right now.
Yeah, threes for D's.
For D's. D's nuts.
D's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Good start. Good.
Yep.
It's going great.
Yep, we're off to a wonderful start.
Uh-huh.
Usually I have a little
pleasure to be here.
Usually I have a little preamble, like I'll ask the guest why they picked the episode, or you and I will give our sort of overview of like, well, this one sucked or this one was great, but I got nothing this time.
I mean, I checked, like when I went to watch the episode yesterday, I checked it. It's like, oh, it's a 48-minute one. It's a short one. They do that sometimes with the new ones. And then I watched, I'm like, oh, that's why it's 48 minutes long. Almost nothing happens.
Also, if you subtract out the recap, like the previously on, that's a couple minutes, and the next time on Discovery is a bit more, and the closing credits, and of course the opening credits, it's about 6 minutes long.
Yep.
So, which, hey, that's fine.
And they are not busy 6 minutes either, by the way.
Well, no. Let me just get into this, because you've...
Yeah, please.
We've just spoiled the first sentence of my summary. Don't give away any precious details, because there ain't much.
The people can't know.
Here we go. People of Earth, a summary by Ron Algar Watt. This may be the easiest summary I've ever had to write, because fuck all happened this time. Michael has a teary reunion with the crew of Discovery. Book sticks around to collect the dilithium he was promised. Disco shrooms to Earth. Earth is not especially happy to see them. Some dilithium raiders, which sounds like the most boring fan film I'd never watch, or possibly the most boring campaign in an RPG I'd never play, show up. Their leader, Wen, is captured. Book and Michael trick him. Georgiou kicks him. And when they yank off his Princess Leia as the Bounty Hunter Bausch mask, Scooby-Doo style, he turns out to be a disgruntled colonist from Titan with a grudge against the Earth authorities. And if you think that sounds like about a dozen of the more boring TNG episodes, you're absolutely correct. He even looks like one of those guys.
He does.
Saru makes the two representatives kiss and make up. Then the disco crew visits Earth. You know, that one spot on Earth. That tree where Boothby used to hang out. It's weird that in a franchise about infinite space, I know exactly which tree this is. Oh, and the inspection party from Earth includes an even more teen, even more genius than Tilly. This is Adira, and they're carrying a Trill symbiote that has the memories of a dead Starfleet admiral. This is literally everything that happens in this episode. Oh, except that we are expected to believe that Michael Burnham and Book, two of the most stunningly gorgeous specimens of humanity I've ever seen, with incredible chemistry, never even considered kissing one another in the year they spent in close quarters having adventures together? Which, frankly, is harder for me to buy than the idea of a fucking magic mushroom teleportation drive.
The amount of time those two have spent together just flying around in space, not doing anything, with only a very large cat for company.
She's a queen.
I am aware of what she is.
I know.
And never doing anything? Like, come on.
Now,
Come on! I
get that they're playing the, she's not my girlfriend. Like, that, I know that beat. That's fine. It can be funny, and it was pretty funny. But the fact that they never thought about it, the fact that they're like, why are you people saying we're in love? What are you talking about?
What a ridiculous thing to say.
Because whichever one you're talking to, look at the other one. They're gorgeous.
Yes, seriously.
And also, their chemistry is undeniable.
It really makes you wonder what the fuck they were thinking with Bag Salad back in the day, because good God, you know?
Yeah, and he was like, a good-looking guy.
That's who you want to stick with, Michael?
He was a good-looking guy that they completely ruined by, one, all the fucking firewolf stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I forgot about the firewolf.
I will never forget the firewolf. And two, you know, never closing his mouth.
Uh-huh. Listen, I've met a lot of inanimate objects that are very pretty to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I collect Marvel action figures. I have tons of them.
I've seen the black
badges.
That
doesn't mean I want to make them the lead in my Star Trek show.
Yeah. It was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or
kiss the lead in my Star Trek show.
Mm-hmm. Book is infinitely better. I saw that in your notes.
Uh-huh.
I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But the... like,
he's probably not a secret Klingon, I hope.
No. I've seen ahead and he isn't, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, we
don't know what season four holds, but.
No, I do. I don't know what season five holds, but.
Well.
Yeah, it's possible, but unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if the Klingons show up in any significant capacity at all, because I think this show was like, you know what? We've done a lot of that. Let's do something else.
Yeah, well, it can be done now, honestly. Mm-hmm. You guys can leave the Klingons for somebody else.
Yeah, and like.
Or not.
The show has been doing a good job of pulling, like, because there's Orions, which we'll see a lot more this season. Yep. There's a Trill. This is my good thing. Like, mm-hmm. they're looking for an admiral that sent a, not a distress call, but like a welcome signal from Earth. Like, if there's any Starfleet still out there, come to Earth. And like, come to Earth. Earth is fun. Come right now. Don't walk, run. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And the admiral ends up being in this 16-year-old, like, United Earth guard who's carrying a Trill symbiote. And like, you know what? That's a good pull from Star Trek lore. Like, good job.
Yep.
And it was odd to me that Michael and Saru are like, Michael in her year in the future is like, yeah, I've heard of Trill. I know what they are, but otherwise they don't know. Like, the time they came here from, Curzon was kicking around. It's weird that they don't know about the Trill yet.
I think they were less known then or something, because, like, I think there's a TNG episode that makes a big deal out of, we've met the Trill.
Well, that's true. That was that was the one with Bever and the, and they also they changed some things from that to Dax, because they're like, we can't maintain a series like this. We need to make it a little different. But
yeah. It can sort of work if you squint at it.
Yeah, no, it's
spend too much time
fun.
On Memory Alpha.
That happens. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know. Like I said, Curzon Dax was around. Presumably other Trill were part of the Federation. It's just odd that...
Curzoning?
Mm-hmm. It was a little odd that they didn't know.
Gotta get my Curzon.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm sure I made that joke in the DS9 days.
Undoubtedly. But I did
over
like...
Over and over until you begged me to stop.
That seems probable. But the fact that they're looking for this, you know, dead admiral, and it turns out to be like, oh, no, that was the worm who now lives in this person. Like, yeah, all right.
That's cool.
Good job. You pulled a thing from Star Trek I didn't expect. Good job.
Yeah. It's a nice reveal.
Yeah. They did.
Them going like, I'm the admiral, actually.
What?
Oh.
You're a child.
Yeah. Well, you're very small. Like.
No, and they were very clearly hitting the, okay, Tilly is like new Wesley, but what if this was new Tilly?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an even, like I said in my summary, even more child, even more prodigy.
Yep.
Like,
I was like, well, they are adorable.
Yeah. And we are very slightly spoilering. Like, this character will come out as non-binary later, and it's just easier to not misgender them now. But
yeah.
But on screen at the moment, they are she. But
is a conversation between Stamets and Tilly where they call them she 80 times, and it's not like they...
Well, they
I get it,
they
you
don't know?
Know
any better. I mean, it's fine.
They don't.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm like, but I'm from the future, and I know better.
Actually, I don't think the character knows entirely yet, either.
That's entirely possible.
It'd be like, you know, listening to this show from 10 years ago and saying, why are you dead-naming Maggie? Well, because Maggie's dead. Maggie's dead-naming Maggie at this point. That's why.
It's not my fault. I didn't know.
I know. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying there's an explanation for it.
Someone out there is blaming me. I know it.
Yeah, possibly.
Shut up, J.K. Rowling. Stop listening to our show.
Oh, man. But it's, yeah, we're just going to say they. It's just easier.
Yeah.
Also, they present very, like, non-binary. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not a big leap. Not I'm not policing it. It's not like you need to. But,
no.
But it is, in this particular case, very easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, that person is not presenting in any traditional gendered way. That is, it's very easy to remember that they are they.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. And I know this character sticks around, but...
Yes, they're, one of the, like, they're on the crew now, basically.
If I remember correctly, we start picking up sort of, you know, a ragtag team of, oh, you're part of Starfleet. I want to be part of Starfleet. Uh-huh. Like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Again, like, Trek is religion, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
We're picking up our various weirdos.
And it also is kind of, I don't know if it's intentional, but it kind of evokes Georgiou in that short. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm putting together a crew of misfits. I have found Saru on his planet, and I took in Sarek's wayward daughter, and like just a whole collection of people that I know will be brilliant, but need a little guidance.
Yep.
Michael needed maybe.
Hope I don't die and get replaced by the worst person alive.
Mm, she's still around.
I was watching this and just, God, I can't wait for her to be gone.
It's going
to
be a while.
She just keeps walking into rooms and everyone's like, okay, let's do this. And then from the back of the room, she goes, we're not doing that. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, okay, well, I guess we won't do that.
No, and Saru's trying to do the good Starfleet captain thing where it's like, there is an opportunity for diplomacy here. It serves us, but it will also make their lives easier. And she's like, what if I kicked the guy?
Uh-huh. This is a real tense diplomatic situation, right? What if I kick this guy in the leg?
Oh, my God.
And I guess.
Saru, from 900 years in the past, with barely any knowledge of the situation, was handling it.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of those, like, handicaps, he was still navigating expertly, and you just almost fucked it up, lady.
Yeah. How did you become emperor? I know how you stayed emperor, because you just murdered anyone who even vaguely inconvenienced you. But I don't know how you got there if you just kept kicking people in the leg.
I feel like it's easier to stay emperor, because once you're emperor, you have access to all the you know, like the monitoring devices they had over there and the, you know, the jackbooted thugs and so forth. But like,
yeah, but getting there is
working your way up, you know?
Like, you've got to work your way through a lot of people who do not want you to be in charge. I fucking couldn't do it. I can't kick that many people.
Yeah, they die and then they all move up in rank. But it happens over and over and over again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those.
You blow up some very important ships or something.
I guess. I don't know. That's one of those lines that all, like, just forever. So you die and we all move up in rank. That will just be a permanent part of my lexicon until I die.
It's weird how useful it is, honestly.
What was your bad thing?
Shove Chekhov in the agonizer.
Yeah, please do. Just throw him in there.
Oh no, time for me to scream again.
Wonder if Anton Chekhov, the president, is an agony screamer.
Good screamer.
Yeah, probably. I didn't mean that in a sex way, but you made it sound like it was.
President Chekhov, we're being invaded by the Borg. Ah!
Uh-huh. Well, you're just like, caw! What was your
all
bad
thing? My bad thing is that the Earth of 900 years from now sure looks a hell of a lot like the Earth of Picard Season 2.
You talking about when they're in the 21st century, or...
Yeah.
Before they go back in time.
No, before they go back. Okay. Like, it's basically, Trek, Earth now, Earth in the future basically looks like it always does in Trek.
Well,
Trek. Like, nothing has changed.
We're at Starfleet Academy. We're in that same little corner of San Francisco that we're always in.
Yeah. And that's just like, here's some nice sort of Apple Store looking buildings. Here's the bridge with the...
The Golden Gate Bridge.
The Golden Gate Bridge with the solar panels on it, which I still like.
Yeah.
But, like, it's been 800 years, you know? I don't know. Put, like, a fucking crane on there or something, you know?
It didn't bother me because I think what they're trying to say is this spot, no matter when we see it, has kind of, like, continuity, consistency. Like, it's like, I think if you went to the military academy, like West Point or like Annapolis, like where the military here now, like they probably work hard to make it look basically the same over time.
Sure.
But in terms of we're going to see Earth 900 years into the already future, like 200, we were already 200 years in the future. Now we're 900 years further. It should look crazy futuristic. You're right.
Yeah. Like it's. 900 years is, I don't know if anybody knows this, a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, things change. Things have changed rapidly since I was born, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and 900 years, again, a lot more than 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet, it's still, like, the big tree being there is cool. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
like,
I like
fine.
That.
Find your big Star Trek tree. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... Fucking the rest of Earth should look insanely different, you know?
I don't know. Maybe they could have, like, you show these characters, you know, checking out Starfleet Academy, where you have someone else going back to their hometown in, I don't know, Paris or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can see, like some place that's developed.
Yeah. Like, here's a much better idea, is you have the crew go actually getting to go home, and it's like, oh, wow, this is not home at all anymore.
Well, yeah, and like, Tilly even says, look, everyone we knew is long dead. Like,
yeah,
there's, I guess, really nothing to go back to.
Yeah. Like, again, things changed dramatically in my hometown in the 9 years I've been living in America. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still, it's like, I go back and I'm like, this is nothing like how it used to be. You know?
I don't know. If the shitty town that I grew up in, which is one of the worst places on Earth, probably looks the same now as it did when I left almost 20 years ago, and will probably look the same in 900 years. It's just full of racism.
This is still, this place still sucks.
Just full of racism and sadness.
Uh-huh.
And bars. So many bars.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least all the racists you know will be dead.
Maybe. I
don't know. Some of these racists just live forever.
I don't know. We thought Nazis were dead too. All right. I mean, we're here to have fun, not to.
Racists don't die, they just become president.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. And then they basically serve on a starship with Michael.
Ooh, nice comeback. God, I'm sick of Giorgio though.
Yeah, me too. They do just, as part of their ruse when they show up to Earth, they don't want to, like, Earth is concerned that they're pirates and like, okay. Anybody who's sketchy and not part of the crew needs to pretend to be part of the crew. So they made them put on uniforms and like,
yeah,
which basically I think was an excuse to have Book take his shirt off, which is okay. Yep, okay. By me.
I'll take plenty of reasons for Book to take his shirt off.
Yeah. But also Giorgio was wearing a uniform and it's like, come on, man. No.
Yeah. That's gross.
She's not. She's just not.
Mm-hmm. That doing that just made me be like, I fucking really miss original Giorgio.
We like her total screen time.
So cool.
Her total screen time might have been 40 minutes, like between the one episode before she died and then that short. But yeah, man. And the cover story that Disco does is like, we're a generation ship. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Really? Oh. A generation ship.
Okay.
At this time of year.
Well, what happened to you during the burn? We were somewhere else.
Didn't go in. We were sick the day of the burn.
Mm-hmm.
I love, everyone figures out that they are time travelers so quickly.
That's not true.
Because they have no cover story.
I think Adira is really the only one who figures it out this time. But but it has happened before. You're right. But they're
Book
like
spent 20 minutes with Michael and he's just like, you're a time traveler. I'm not an idiot.
You have a pristine, like pointy phaser and like a cool ass looking like tricorder, you know. Yep. These are mint in box, man.
Yeah, man. I would kill for something this nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some people almost did. Remember, that was kind of the MacGuffin in that first episode.
Yep.
Oh, real quick, back to Book taking his shirt off. Can we linger on that a bit? No, I just
look. We can talk about that as long as you want, man.
There's a moment where they're putting the uniform on him, and he's zipping up a zipper, and they take a while, and this is like, see, Gene, we have zippers. See, look at the zippers, Gene. Like, oh, wow, okay.
Gene rolling in his grave, just no zippers.
I don't know. I didn't mind the no zipper thing. Like any little thing that makes it feel unusual and not like now, I like. But they've
zippers, more boobs.
Yeah, that, you know. And look, I like boobs, but not the way
boobs are great.
Not the way Gene wants to do it, though.
Yeah, I boobs are great, but I never made a whole Star Trek series about them, and I had the option.
That's true.
And I probably could have gotten away with it too, from where I am now.
Well, yes, and also, you know. Like, you would also have an ally there in pro boobs, but, you know.
Post-Atomic Horror is a pro-boob podcast.
Sure, but also...
Just in general, and also in making your own at home.
But also not... we try to be anti-exploitation, for the most part.
That's true.
Unless it's Book taking his shirt off, that's okay.
Yeah, which is fine. Exploit the hell out of that guy.
Yeah, as long as he's cool with it, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down for a little Book-sploitation.
Look, he was very cool with Michael very slowly doing his zipper up.
Yes, but they are platonic friends.
Yep, two people who have never had any sexual interest in one another at all,
or romantic, or like mm-hmm. you know, like I don't know, one of them could be ace. That's cool, but you've never thought about holding hands.
Nope.
All right.
Why would I hold her hand when I can pet this cat?
I mean, that's a fair point, but you have two hands.
Yeah, you could multitask.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Pet cat, hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the future. You can do whatever you want, man.
Be pirate.
Yep.
Got to put that on there. Mm-hmm. Got to pay those bills somehow.
Yeah. Can't believe there's still bills in the future.
I don't know that there are. I think, you know, he's working to make his little sanctuary planet is why he was mm-hmm. doing that. He told us that.
Yep. Got to find a place for your space slugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we got a might have been 5-second reminder that Detmer's still dealing with her PTSD. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, remember this? Okay, next week we will tell you another one. Thanks.
Detmer in a cameo role going, are you sure about that, Captain?
Yeah, and looking real, like, you know, acting the hell out of the one page of script they gave her. But, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Boy, if only we had, like, nothing going on in this episode. You could stretch that out a little bit. No? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, this wouldn't be a bad time.
Gotta spend more time with Saru teaching us what the word compromise means, huh?
The thing is, there were a lot of character moments in this that I genuinely enjoyed. Like,
oh, yeah.
You won't usually hear me complain if it's a bulk, you know, the bulk of it is a character episode with a little bit of plot. That's how I write them. But also,
mm-hmm.
I was always a fan of, like, Data's Day. If you didn't have the dumb, like, extra danger at the end of that, where it was just like, here is a typical day for Data. That is all.
Yeah.
That was nice. But
yeah,
I don't know. Something like, if you're doing a serialized story where the story needs to move forward, it's a little different, I think.
Mm-hmm. I just like, this is the first episode where Michael and the crew are reunited.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's a lot of character stuff you could get into instead of like this weird focus on like on Earth or like nothing really happening in a very short amount of time.
They gave us like Tilly and Mike reuniting, which was very mm-hmm. sweet because those two are still great together.
Yep.
And we got a good like Tilly and Stamets bit, and we got a lot mm-hmm. of Michael and Saru, and like instantly it's like, oh shit, yep. These two belong together the way Kirk and Spock belong together. They are
they
are just perfect. Like, and it should be Saru in charge and Michael is number one. But like,
yes,
regardless, these two just feel instantly perfect.
Yeah.
Like, even when they're at odds with each other, it just feels right, you know?
Them being at odds with each other is so good, you know?
Yeah, because he's like, you impulsive, like, you're supposed to be, like, raised by a Vulcan. Why are you more impulsive than a human?
Yeah, why are you like this?
I don't know! That's their dynamic right there. Why are you like this? I don't know. She doesn't want to be like that.
No, no one wants to be like
this. She's very smart. She knows she's like that. She's trying to stop. Yeah. Well, weirdly, this takes me to my bad thing,
mm-hmm.
which is I like the new, more chill Michael with the great hair. And we actually got a montage of like the evolution of her hair. But
there is a bit where Tilly and her are reunited and Tilly mm-hmm. goes, I love your hair. And Michael has the best fucking, it's such good acting for her.
It didn't,
which is like, oh, stop.
It didn't feel like acting. It felt like, I know exactly the moment you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just this cute smile flashes on her face. Like, my friend just gave me a compliment. And it's like, that felt like the actors are friends and it slipped in, mm-hmm. but maybe she's just that good.
Yeah. Like, if that's it, then awesome.
It was like, such a genuine moment.
It really felt like it was just like, oh God, I do love these characters, you know?
Yeah. No, I do too. But the fact that everyone, including her, this entire mm-hmm. episode keeps telling us she's different.
Yeah.
Like constantly she's like, I'm different now, Saru. Like just mm-hmm. she says those exact words 3 or 4 times. And everyone else is like, Michael, you're so different. And like these writers, come on. Mm-hmm. Like the actors are doing the best with what they have. What we are reacting to is the sketch of these characters is great and the performers really carry that, but the scripts from week to week are kind of nothing.
Yeah, seriously.
And so much tell don't show with her, like, I'm different. I don't like I'm glad they reminded me because I forgot when we left the past, it was like, who's gonna be captain? I don't know, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
Because that's where we pick it up and it was like, I forgot all about that. And Saru was like, I assumed we would fight over this because you're like this. And she's like, no, it should be you because I'm different.
No, you're captain.
But it's
sit in the chair.
Yes. Well, I will need a bigger chair.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know.
Poor guy's legs are up in his chin.
Mm-hmm.
This was the largest starship I could afford.
I just a perfect image of him in that little Volkswagen. Hey,
Am
everyone.
Am I therefore to be made the subject of fun?
Hey, everyone. It's that boy who laughs at everyone.
Let's shoot him with a toxic dart.
Mm-hmm. Wave to the people. Blow them kisses.
I'm dead now.
Uh-huh. I'm right behind you.
God damn it. Okay.
Yep. It's very good. But just her constantly saying, I'm different. Like, come on.
I'm sorry. Are you me coming back from college for the first time?
But we can see you. Like, the visual of her hair being different and her smiling more is already a little unsubtle. Well, it's very unsubtle, but it's unsubtle in a way that I'm cool with. It's like, no, visually she's different, but in the acting, it will be obvious. And then she just keeps saying the words, I've changed.
Yeah. If it just, there's a bit where Tilly is just, again, it's the same scene. It's a good scene.
Yeah, it is.
But where Tilly is like, you're more relaxed now. Like, you're, you know, that's all you need, because that is a thing that she would say to her, you know?
Well, yeah,
because
like, Tilly that is, the thing is the character that says the thing out loud that doesn't really need to be said out loud. That's fine.
Yeah, it works that way, you know? But like,
Georgiou
going,
says
different.
It, and Saru says it, like, everyone who knows her says it.
Georgiou doesn't care if you're different. She just wants to know where your leg is.
I do like, one of the only things I do like about evil Georgiou, and this is, I mean, Michelle Yeoh, obviously. That goes without saying. At this point, going forward, just understand, we adore the performer, we hate the character. That's just...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel like I need to keep saying that. But the fact that she does have this protective streak for Michael, like, I do actually... That's one of the only things I like about the character.
Yeah.
When she beams Book aboard, which, by the way, you let her operate the transporter?
I mean, like, this is the thing, is she just keeps doing things. Like, no one is letting her, just also no one is stopping her, just, you know?
I know the technology exists to lock her out.
Yeah.
Maybe
why are we letting this woman, like, fucking just walk around doing whatever the fuck she wants?
Also, we all love Michael, and Michael says we can trust this guy, Book. So why are we trusting his safety to her?
Yeah.
But anyway... It does allow for a scene between them where she's like, so you and Michael, huh? And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And she just glowers at, like, it's, I do like her sort of weird protective mom thing. Like, this, that's pretty good.
So what are your intentions with my daughter? I'm sorry?
I didn't know you had a daughter. In it.
Michael is mine. She belongs to me.
Oh, you mean like a grudge with me? She's a queen, you know.
Yes, and so is Michael. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
But I'm an emperor.
That wins.
She might be a queen, but I'm an emperor. What else?
My good thing. I'll do this quick.
Yeah.
I like Wen's hat.
Sure.
Got a real, you call it the Leia's as Bosch hat. And
Yep.
I like that hat.
It didn't really look like that, but the fact that it's a regular ass guy putting this thing on and having a like a different voice and all that's all.
I mean, it doesn't look like that, but that was the thought I had too. It's like, you know, what if a guy put on a weird bug hat? There he's Bosch.
It looked,
where's his stick?
Like, I don't know at all. Like, this is your, like, I don't go here, as they say. But I got a bit of a Mass Effect vibe.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely looked sort of more like current sci-fi, unless like this is based in Star Trek lore or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they were definitely trying to make it look like this is an invading alien species.
Yeah.
So that when like, there's the reveal and you have what's her face going like, oh my God, you're human.
Well, and that's the Bausch of it is like when you, cause you think this is a weird alien and then you take the helmet off and it's just some guy. I mean, look, that wasn't just some guy. It was the perfect creature that was Carrie Fisher, but you know, still.
And she's holding a thermal detonator.
I even have in my notes, Yoto, Yoto. And I'm not going to defend Giorgio kicking him because that sucked. But I will say the reason she did it was, ugh, you were negotiating with what you think is an alien, but it's just some guy. Look.
Yep.
And I, nice okay, one. You could have got there a different way, but okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she could have kicked him in the nads.
Not everyone keeps their genitals in the same place, Captain.
Giorgio's like, he does, though.
Yeah, that one does.
And I found them.
I found these
nuts.
They
were not hard to find.
See? We said it for a reason. It's fine.
We're a good show.
Uh-huh. And you know how you can tell we're a good show? Because we keep saying we're a good show. We're different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are different now.
Mm-hmm. I'm different.
Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Black Guano.
Yep. I had forgotten about Black Alert.
Oh, God. Yeah, Black Alert's stupid.
Because they mushroom-drived.
Yep.
Drove? Mushroom drove? No, because it's a drive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a drive. But they did drive somewhere with the drive.
They let me drive. there's a...
Brock, I'm a driver. I drove.
I don't drive, man. There is a great bit with Book where he's, and we've seen this 100,000 times in Star Trek, and it's fine. I'm not complaining about this. He's sitting in the mess hall with a drink by himself, off in the table by the window by himself. And it's like his third or fourth drink. And Michael says, oh, you're getting more synthahol? And he just looks at her, looks at the glass. Synthahol? No wonder I'm not getting drunk. Fuck.
This is bullshit.
Like, he didn't know. Oh, that's great.
Cool.
I thought you just had weak whiskey on this ship. I didn't know.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Where's the good shit? Where's Guinan?
Well, that's a whole... You don't want to know.
Yeah, we're not getting into that right now.
It's someplace real stupid, if that helps.
Uh-huh. It does help.
Uh-huh.
I got to deliver a slug to someplace real stupid.
I mean, that was just one adventure. They had a whole year of adventures, as they kept telling us.
Yep. They do a lot of the, you want to do the whatever maneuver? That worked on Wherever 3 when the guy with the thing did the thing. Yep. Right, I remember. Do you remember when we did the thing?
Yeah, again, that's kind of lazy writing to me.
It is, yeah.
Like, you just show them,
all right.
You just show them working well together. We know they have a year together. You don't need to remind us of that. They just, like, exchange a look and they know what the right thing is. That's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Remember when we made the Kessel run?
Mm-hmm. All right, less than 10 parsecs. Better than that fucking Solo guy.
So sick of that guy and his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yoto, Yoto.
She's a princess.
And she's holding a thermal detonator.
I'll just kick it out of her hand, I guess. Earth is fucking jackbooted thugs again. I don't love that. We did go ahead.
Oh, just when we show up and there's like the big energy net around it. And I'm just like, all right.
And I get it because like after they lost all of Starfleet, they had nothing to defend them. And apparently like pirates and shit, you know, everybody said, ooh, Earth is complete. Like Earth is always undefended anyway. Even when Starfleet was like 10,000 ships strong, there's never a ship by Earth. But but now there aren't any to come back even. So like I get it. But also, you know, it's just
It just sucks that you get back to Earth after 900 years and the first thing that happens is a bunch of cops show up and shake down your ship.
Yeah, but now that I think of it, the whole point is that Michael's the one, like, showing them the way again. Like, they're like, no, we're the good example. We're Starfleet. Like, that guy in the first episode. Like, I think that's, now that I think of it, like, okay. But still, I could do without, like, jackbooted thugs is all.
I can always do without jackbooted thugs, honestly.
Yep. Captain,
I'm going to close down the jackboot store.
Thank you. Maybe by 900 years from now, that'll have an effect.
Ugh.
I'm currently replaying Day of the Tentacle, so I keep thinking, what you do now will affect, like, hundreds of years from now. That's how you solve this.
Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Tilo hadn't played it before, so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that the remake they did a couple years ago?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. But Captain Andoye, I wrote her name down because I couldn't remember, because any one-off character, I never remember their names.
Yeah, no. Who are you again?
I saw you putting in your notes the name of the new character, Adira, like a bunch of times to help yourself remember, because I do that too.
Yep.
But she looks about 25 to me.
Yeah, seriously.
And she's like, okay, like, fine, whatever.
They put you in charge? Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, yeah. And I was just reminded in that last shot of the episode too, where it's Tilly and the bridge crew. They all have names, but they don't really have characters like Bryce and Reese,
yep.
and Detmer and oh god, who else?
There's a new blonde girl running around.
There's Awoshikin.
Yeah.
Oh no, the blonde used to be Arium.
That's right. Or yes. Okay.
It's the same performer, but it's not the same character.
Yes.
Because they killed off Arium, but they're like, but we still like this performer. So yeah, she's around as somebody else.
Yeah, but I can't remember what her name is.
No, I don't either, because she hasn't really had anything. And the bridge crew hardly ever has, like, Tilly gets stuff, but that's it. But my point is, as they do the wide shot, and this is what I ended up using for our cover art, like, because it's a good shot of these characters that hardly get any love. And they're standing by that big tree. It's like, these are all very beautiful people under 25.
Yep.
Like this is like a fucking, a clothing catalog or something. You know what I mean? Like this is like a model shoot. They're just all gorgeous 25-year-olds.
This is the exact opposite of Picard season 3, where it was all old people.
And I'm fine with the old people thing. I don't know. I guess maybe the Picard season 3 thing makes more sense because like the Borg had a weapon that hit people under 30 or whatever. And it's like,
yeah,
I guess a lot of the officers are pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. It just hit me a little weird that like, really all of these are like some of the most important people on the ship and they're all just tiny babies.
I'm trying to remember if Disco was set up that way. Cause it's like supposed to be like a, like it was a science vessel.
Right. It was a research ship at one point. You're right.
Yeah. But, like, if it was, like, a lot of college students or something, or if that's just a thing I made up.
We definitely latched on to that. Like, that was sort of the unofficial PA thing. I don't know if it was the real thing. I do not remember.
I think about the dance they go to in Madness to Drive the Sanest Man Mad or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's like they've got, like, their rave or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't think that's ever confirmed or anything. I think that might just be a thing we think.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, fine.
You got to say the title, like all 50 words of the title. Come on.
Madness to make the maddest man go. Wait, hang on.
Wait, the knife cares in. Not for the madness
of the into the forest I go.
And this one was just people of Earth. Like my, and of course, my first thought is people of Earth. This is a prosthetic Vogon Jelts. Because that phrase is ruined. But I don't think they do. No, because I had Amanda record all the bumpers, and I don't think they do many of their ridiculous disco titles, which I didn't think I'd be unhappy about, but I kind of miss them.
I always really love the ridiculous disco titles because other Trek shows don't tend to do them, and they were a thing I loved about original Trek.
Yeah, but original Trek only had them occasionally is what I liked. It's like,
yes,
you would
but
have
they stood out.
You would have the Apple and the Doomsday Machine. And then you would have For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky. You know what I mean? Like, they would blindside you with that shit after a couple of the whatever.
I love For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky. The episode, I do not remember a thing about the episode. I think it's the one with that Lazarus guy.
No, it's not.
But
it's the one where they find something on an asteroid and Bones has a love interest briefly. And
that's right.
But yeah, what I'm saying is like, you'd have normal ass titles and then they'd blindside you with that, whereas disco just every week
Butcher's Knife cares not for this lamb's guy
and I Have Touched this lamb
get away from that lamb, that's famous lamb puppet lamb chop.
She's a queen. All right, anything else?
I think that's everything I've got.
I knew we were going to
be a long episode, but it sure is a goofy one.
It's the, I don't know. I think it's just us feeling a little punchy. We've had a bad week, kids.
It's been a bad week, yeah.
And we don't need to get into why, but like, it's like, I think we're just blowing off a little steam and being goofy. I don't think the episode was especially goofy.
No.
Oh, one other bad thing I wanted to point out, the vocal effect on Wen was like some, I like when I started doing audio design, it was like, I'll run this effect. What does this do? Good enough. Like, that's what it felt like. Like, they just sort of pitched him down. And it's like, you could do better than that. Come, hey, you want to help me move this couch?
Well, now he's got a whole planet full of people on Earth to help him move his couch.
Yeah, good. It's a big couch, though, you know.
Pervert.
I mean, he lives on Titan. Like,
yep.
Presumably everything's very large on Titan, right? Because it's Titan.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge couch.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose that's all for this time, then.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the episode list, so I do have it. Yeah, the next one is a completely forgettable title called Forget Me Not.
I will forget you so.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Guarantee it.
So look forward to that. The website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail. Our Patreon. We are still releasing reviews of Lower Decks. We are well into season two now, so check that out. Patreon.com/Algar. We'd appreciate it. And there's some bullshit going on with Patreon now that if you do it through the Apple, like iOS, they keep 30%. So maybe...
God fucking damn it.
Maybe do it somewhere else, please, because...
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you guys... Like, we get a decent amount, but I'd hate to cut 30% out of that, you know? So
yeah.
All right. That's all for this time. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.